Oh, well, Roy, it's great to have you on the show for the first time in a long time. And talk about the new Conception EP that you just released and, you know, let everybody know about it.
Yeah. Well, we've released an EP in, what was it, November? And prior to that, we had a single out named Reconception with a couple of songs. Where only one of those, or two of them actually, made it to the EP. It's a six-track EP with some songs that we've been working on, you know, the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And the whole process of getting there was kind of interesting this time around, because we went back to our roots. You know, the very first record that we did, Lost Sunset, was also self-financed, or we just made a very expensive demo and released it. So and we had our own record company called Conception Records, or CSF Records, or something like that. With this EP, we also wanted to do the same thing. We wanted to release it ourselves, have all control, and we came up with this idea of doing a crowdfunding campaign via Pledge Music. Mm-hmm. Which was really cool. I mean, I had no experience with it whatsoever, and neither did any of the other guys. But we wanted to try it, and it was a delightful process. In the sense that you could mold the whole campaign yourself. You could set it up the way you wanted to. You could do the products that you wanted to do. You could develop products along the way together with fans, based on suggestions and communication with fans along the way. So that was really cool. And we came up with some pretty interesting products that we weren't really sure, you know, how they would do at all, because nobody had done anything like that, at least not on Pledge.
Right.
So for example, we did this camping trip here in Norway with 10 fans. You know, the whole process of I mean, that is a final product, you know, of us coming back together after all these years, and actually a couple of years, probably even more, you know, of writing and preparing for this comeback. But we did this campaign with Pledge, all I can say is it was a very enjoyable process, you know, every aspect of it was a big success, it's something that I recommend, really, because it's just so much more fun to sit there and follow every step of that process, as opposed to just getting a sum of money from the record company, and from there on you just have to cross your fingers and hope that they take good care of your baby, you know. And you know, sometimes they do a good job, sometimes they do an okay job, and sometimes they don't, you know, and you're stuck with that.
Right.
Just with whatever, you know, effort they're putting into your, you know, your thing.
Now, obviously, you've been on a hiatus for quite some time, and you finally, you know, came back, you know, started recording the EP and reformed the band again. You know, what's the response been for you personally and for the band after being gone for so long?
It's been overwhelming. I mean, already from the campaign, already from the point where I released this one song during last Easter last year. It's been really heartwarming to see that all these people have been waiting, and all the nice comments, you know, it's obviously super nice to see that you are still remembered and wanted. And the response to the EP has been very good, it's also a very it was very satisfactory for ourselves, you know, to see that we could still, you know, make music that is it is still, we still have that ability to push ourselves, you know, that extra little inch to make something that I believe will still be interesting, you know, decades from now. Mm-hmm. You can sort of tell right away whether this is something that is going to last. I'm somewhat biased, of course. I mean, being the singer and one of the songwriters, but mm-hmm. I think over the years, I feel it's safe to say that I've got a good sense of telling whether something's going to last or not. Mm-hmm. And I still feel that we got that, you know, that aspect to our songwriting.
Now, the way I've described the EP to everybody is that, you know, when it came out, you know, I got this feeling of a combination of the album In Your Multitude and Flow. Because Flow, I thought, was a tremendous record. It had a lot of interesting different elements in it. And you kind of mixed that up with some of the more heavy metal, power metal type sounds that you had, say, in Your Multitude, for example. And, you know, I really think you did a great job combining that. So, you know, you guys hadn't really, you know, aside from the one, you know, reunion or appearance you had a few years back, together playing a show, you know, you guys hadn't really been together writing. So you got everybody back that was in the band. And what was it like to get back together in a room with these guys to really write these songs again with them?
Super cool. I mean, it's not like we've been you got to remember that we've been good, really good friends the whole time, you know, even when I was in Camelot and Tora was in Ark, and the other two guys have been doing their things. We still met, you know, regularly to either just hang out or party or, you know, whatever. So Tor and I even lived together in a community in Oslo together with three other people for a couple of years at least. So it wasn't weird in any way, but and we also have been writing some music along the way. For example, when Tor and I stayed in Oslo or lived there together, we rented this big house in the north of Oslo. We did do some writing back then too. So that whole thing wasn't really all that weird. But it was good to know that, you know, this time around, you know, we had a goal. This time we're getting back together, and we're really gonna try to set some deadlines for ourselves, and you know, we know that there's gonna be some sort of product at the end of this, and of course that was different and satisfying along the way.
So obviously you've been out of Camelot for quite some time now, and you ended up going to, you know, essentially, you haven't really been doing much. You've been off the face. You've been off the map. And what have you been doing for the past, you know, 8 or 9 years that you've been gone, you know, up until now?
When I left Camelot, I was called in sick for a year. And I basically just, you know, stayed at home, spent time with my family, and worked out, and you know, just tried to take life easy. Mm-hmm. After that year, we went half a year to, we actually lived on Hawaii for half a year. And after that, we came back to Norway and moved to a different city where I started working as some people say that I've been a youth pastor. That's not really entirely correct. I was more responsible. I was responsible of the youth club, and I was responsible for, you know, bigger arrangements like concerts and the county's biggest skateboard happening that we had annually, mm-hmm. stuff like that, which was somewhat related to, you know, what I had been doing. And I also been working quite a bit as a teacher, you know, after 4 years of working at our church. But you know, the whole that whole time was cool, and And I've met a lot of, you know, wonderful people and had a great time. But there's always been this I've been longing more and more, you know, back to doing, I guess, what I was, you know, set here to do. And that's sing, write songs, perform, is this thing that is just dragging me back, whether I really want to or not, but I want to. But it's right. Just a very strong attraction. I'm very glad that, you know, that I, you know, that I'm back. Feels good.
Now, Conception was around mainly during the 90s, and you know, the interesting thing about you guys was that you were just a unique band. The type of music you were playing back then, the power metal, progressive stuff, really was not music that everybody was wanting to listen to, especially, you know, over here in the States. And, you know, you ended up on Noise Records. You released In Your Multitude. And maybe talk about being a musician back then. And was it difficult for you guys to find a market back then, you know, given that this kind of music just wasn't doing so well?
Well, when we released Parallel Minds, we thought that, you know, we hadn't really realized that grunge had kicked in, and that metal, you know, our kind of metal anyway, was sort of on, you know, on the way down. So we were, you know, we totally believed that we were going to be rock stars, and went out there with a humongous amount of self-confidence. But you know, over the years, we understood that, you know, okay, this kind of metal is, you know, is not really on its way up. The peak has been there, and it resulted in decreasing sales, and so obviously that was, you know, it wasn't easy. At the same time, though, you know, things opened up in the sense that, you know, there was this talk about the internet and the possibilities of spreading your music regardless of the type of backing you had. So we were sort of optimistic towards the end, all the way towards the end. But when we were thrown off that tour with Stradivarius and Elegy, like 6 days before it was supposed to happen, and at the same time as the Flow came out, we thought that was, you know, the record of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. We were so super happy with that record. Thought we finally found our sound. And then it was, you know, the reception of that was, I mean, some people really embraced it, but, you know, the majority of people were sort of, I don't know, lukewarm. And it wasn't until later that, you know, people that it seemed to catch on somehow. Mm-hmm. And I guess part of the reason is that we changed so much from record to record, especially between The Last Sunset and Parallel Minds, and then again, especially between In Your Multitude and Flow. Right. So fans didn't really, you know, they didn't really, I guess it was just too much.
Now, you know, Parallel Minds was a very, very good record. It was a great follow-up album to The Last Sunset. And, you know, talk about making that album. What are some thoughts from that album, you know, in recording it and writing it and making it?
Parallel Minds, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was our, as I mentioned earlier, we did The Last Sunset ourselves. So that was a, you know, totally different game of ball. This time around, we had I wouldn't say a very good budget, but it was a budget. We could travel to a real producer and you know, record our stuff in a real studio. And, you know, we stayed at hotels and we were in Germany for a couple of months at a time. So it felt very right from that moment. And working with Tommy was a very good experience. He had a lot of, you know, a lot of inputs, a lot of stuff to teach us as far as producing goes, and also in you know, as far as songwriting goes, he had a much more he had more focus on, you know, getting the essence of a song, we definitely changed a lot between The Last Sunset and Parallel Minds as songwriters. This was at a time where we were developing both as musicians and songwriters, all of us. But that, in combination with meeting a real producer that also had his take on bringing out the essential of the song and you know, having strong focus on the choruses and stuff like that, and cutting out maybe the most wild parts that you know we thought were cool, but that might not be, you know, might not go too well with people. That was a really good learning process. And of course, we also met a lot of other people that in connection with the studio and having a real label and all that was a wonderful time and a lot of learning.
Now, In Your Multitude is still my favorite album that you guys had put out. And, you know, I liked it. I thought it was a little more diverse. I liked the album a little bit overall. It's still my favorite Conception album. You know, talk about moving on and making that one.
Yeah, the funny thing is, you know, that there are different people have different albums and different songs as their favorites. And In Your Multitude was a record where we felt that things went a little bit too fast, you know, in the studio. We didn't feel that Tommy was as on the ball as he had been with Parallel Minds, or as what he would be later on Flow. But it's definitely a record that a lot of people have as their favorite, and I do understand why. But there are certain things about the production of that album that we're not super happy with. The sound is not, there's something about the drum sound especially that we're not 100% happy with. But as far as the songs go, I mean, it's a great record. When I'm saying that we're not 100% happy with it, it means we're, you know, maybe 95% happy. Mm-hmm. So our standards for happiness with our own products is pretty high. But I remember that Tommy was giving a couple of the guys a really hard time on that record. So it might have to do with the vibe that was in the studio at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you like it, and some of my favorite Conception songs are also on this record. But as an overall thing, there were a couple of production things that we didn't feel were totally there.
Then he came out with the album Flow, which was drastically different from anything you have ever done. And there's so many other crazy elements in it that, you know, I can't even compare this album to anything. And at the time, it didn't really get a lot of great reviews. But nowadays, you know, people really love this record. And talk about the mindset you had going in to make this album and, you know, what it was like for you to go in and record this record and put it out.
Yeah, on this record, we just felt that Tommy was really back in the loop, you know, with his full self. I don't really know why, but I guess he liked the songs better for some reason. I just remember Tommy being all fired up, you know, and enthusiastic at how he approached, you know, every song. And he would really dive into each song and break them down and build. For a song like Angel, for example, I think we broke that song down and built it back up, I don't know, maybe 20 times from the demo state that it was in when we first played it for Tommy. And he just did not seem to be happy with, you know, until we had that final version. But he was fired up in a way that, you know, made us all fired up. So it was cool. I like working with people that want to make things better if you know, things are done in a constructive way, you know, and if they can make you feel that, you know, we're going somewhere. And we had that feeling all the time during that production. And also, I have to say, the sound of the drums, and there's something about the overall sound of that that is still, even today, you know, with today's production, it still sounds really good. So, yeah. And you know, same with this record. Some of my favorite Conception songs are on this record. Probably that's probably the one record with most favorite songs on my part, anyway. Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud and very happy about all the Conception records that I've done. You know, even the last Sunset with the time, resources, and the and know-how that we had at that time. It was a great record.
As I mentioned before, you know, I talked about how Flow wasn't liked back then, but now a lot of people seem to, you know, people that I talk to seem to enjoy that album now. And do you see that album getting a lot more love that it didn't get back then, like a lot more love now from fans that it maybe did not get back then?
Yeah, yeah. It was actually kind of funny because we didn't really understand until like maybe after 2, 3, 4 years, you know, after the release of Flow, that it was actually getting much more recognition than what we initially thought it did. Yeah, I mean, it was good to see that, you know, our gut feeling about the record and the production at that time was, you know, wasn't that off, because we were, as I said, we were super happy with it, and I'm just glad that. But as I said, you know, I think things changed too much, and I believe that a lot of the people that liked us in the beginning were people that, you know, maybe they liked slightly faster stuff. I don't know. I mean, there's something about the energy that changed, but there's also a new type of energy that is, and so some type of maturity that is in Flow that is not in the earlier recordings. So and this also has to do with, you know, the fact that, you know, the general sales for heavy metal were, you know, they were decreasing. So I guess everybody was, the whole business was sort of in limbo at the time.
Now, going into your career a bit, obviously after Flow, you know, Conception broke up and you ended up joining Camelot. How did that whole thing happen? How did you end up joining Camelot, you know, a band from the States? And talk about that whole experience of getting involved with those guys. Obviously, you saw a lot of success with them, and, you know, I'd be interested to hear, you know, how you ended up joining that band.
I was on my way from Oslo back home. I was sitting in my car, and I got a phone call from this guy that said his name was Thomas Youngblood from Tampa. As far as I remember, he had read about Conception splitting up the same year, actually. This was like late 97, and Conception split up spring 97. Yeah, don't kill me if I'm wrong on this, but as far as I remember, that's how it was. And he asked me, he said that, you know, I've got this band called Camelot. We have a singer that he doesn't want to tour, so we're in need of a singer, and we really like you. We know you from Conception, read about your split up, and we're kind of hoping that you would, you know, want to help us out with this record. And they were, I think they already had recorded the Siege Perilous, or they were at the end of the production of that one, just needed the last vocals and some, you know, stuff here and there. And they paid me pretty okay. I'd never been to the U.S. and Thomas sounded like a nice guy, so I thought, yeah, well, why not? Mm-hmm. So I did that, and me and Tom wrote one song together that I think ended up as a Japanese bonus track, a ballad. And that went pretty fast. It was kind of, I mean, me and Tom were quite complimentary as songwriters, so that was a pretty cool constellation. And I mean, after that one song and after that whole production, it was quite enjoyable. We started talking about doing a whole album together, and you know, sometime after that, we found Miro and Sasha, and it just ended up being a really, really good team.
And it's great that you mentioned Sasha and Miro, because the band really became successful when they teamed up and produced The Fourth Legacy. I think The Fourth Legacy was the major turning point for this band in the break that Camelot was really looking for, because, you know, when you went from the first album that you recorded with them to The Fourth Legacy, it was night and day. I mean, it was an amazing record. Even today, I still do listen to that album quite a bit. And talk about what it was like working with these guys when they first joined, what kind of impact they had for you, you know, being in Camelot and on the band itself.
No, I mean, both Sasha and Miro were very important when it came to the overall sound of Camelot. Because we on The Fourth Legacy, we didn't really have a keyboarder. We had Miro, and he's a real master on you know, symphonic stuff, and he's a great keyboard player. So him being one of the producers and taking care of all the keyboards and all the orchestral stuff was a big element. And also Sasha, of course, he's a very good producer with a very he has a very good ear for tasty transitions and all these people that these guys know, you know, if you want something, you know, this is like, you know, sitting at a really expensive restaurant and you can just pull, yeah, I want to have a oboe, you know, on the last verse on that song, and you know, I want to have a big gospel choir on that song, you know, you got it. The stuff could cost some money, but we had okay budgets already with Noise. But it wasn't until the Black Halo that we had really good budgets, and money was no longer an issue when it came to, you know, getting the sound and getting the, you know, right, getting what we wanted to be on tape, you know, and have what we wanted.
Now that you have this EP out, Con, you know, what's the future hold for this band? You know, you got some shows planned. Are you guys going to be writing any new material? And, you know, let's talk about maybe some shows or whatever, you know, some stuff you got coming up.
Right now, we just released the tickets for a couple of small shows in our local, you know, town, city. The hometown of the other guys. I'm not really from there, but Tora, Ingo and Arvid, they're from that city. I think it's almost sold out, so that's going to be the first two little shows that we do. It's going to be tight, sweaty club setting, two nights in a row, and we also have we've set up some packages for people that come in from abroad, and I think it's going to be a real, real treat for fans. There's that, and then we're gonna do the Carmageddon in the Western Norway together with Dimmu Borgir. Then we have a really cool festival in Spain called Rock the Coast, which I think our gig is gonna take place in a castle or something. I just heard some rumors that the setting is really stunning, but I don't really have the details on that, but I think that's going to be a real cool gig. And then we're playing tons of rock in Norway as a warm-up for Slayer and Volbeat.
Now, you know, speaking of shows, you know, the Prague Power Festival is obviously a very well done, very, you know, pretty big festival now, a lot bigger than when it started. And, you know, you guys played a lot of those early shows and you played there quite a few times. And talk about playing on the Prague Power Festival over the years and give your thoughts on playing those shows for that crowd of people.
Yeah. I mean, I think at some point I must have been one of the guys that had been at Prog Power the most, because I did four shows or something with Camelot, and then I did that one reunion with Conception, I was kind of afraid that people were going to get tired of me, but it's just a really cool festival. You have all these really dedicated fans that, you know, they come together and, you know, help Glenn finance the whole thing, and it's just a really cool gathering of devoted metalheads, and it was a blast every single time. Sounds really good, the crew's really cool, and just a really cool little festival.
So are you guys maybe planning on writing some new songs, and has any progress possibly been made on that to maybe do a full-length album?
Yeah, well, right now we're focusing on the we're still writing the aftermath of the release of the single and the EP. Mm-hmm. And we're, you know, setting up a lot of stuff that has to do with business, a lot of boring stuff, and we're also preparing for these live gigs that we're doing in the spring. So I don't really want to say too much about that now, but I'd say there's good reason to be optimistic. Let's put it that way.
Well, Roy, it was great to be able to talk to you and have you back on the show again. And for my last question, as I ask everybody, any last words for the fans that are going to be checking out this interview on my show?
I just want to say thank you for, you know, your support over the years, and you know, anybody that has been waiting for Conception to come back, you know, thank you. Thank you for your patience, and I just really hope that we'll get out there and do some shows, you know, and come out there and play live in the U.S. Because that's really what this band is all about. It's a live band. So I really hope that we get to see you, and I really hope that you guys get to see us live.